Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Momager girlfriend. It's your girl, the Curvy Momager, for this week's session of The Momager Is In. I'm your favorite Momager, the Curvy Momager, and this is my show. Super excited to have on some special guests today, Q from the Talk to Q show, and my partner in crime, Erica from Cocktails and Conversations. It has been a long time since I've caught up with these two, so I really can't wait to catch up and find out what's going on with them and discuss today's hot topic, what do men really think about women in sports? You know, girl, they see us in our cute little pink uniforms for the NFL, and they are like, oh, okay, whatever, that's cute, bye-bye. But really, do they really think we have a voice or a place in the sports world? So this is going to get really interesting for sure because Q is never once back down. Yesterday, my all-star participated in a local all-star game called the Cream of the Crop. Shout out to Joey Vasquez and Benny M for a great event. It was one that we've never done here in Bakersfield. So very excited that we had a chance to participate in the inaugural event. And also good job to the coaches, Dominique Stanso and Wes from Foothill High School. My son's team fell short, and I mean that literally, because we had absolutely no bigs on our team. I mean, we had one who was a good size, but all the bigs were on the other team. I don't know who decided that matchup, but I want a recount because it was just not fair. But no excuses. You know, we don't make any excuses over here. We had a good time at the game. It was a lot of fun. I think that Bakersfield was really excited about having something like this in the city for basketball. We have it for football already. So I really want to thank those guys for putting this on. It was a lot of work. I'm sure a lot of money, but the kids really appreciated it. They played at a college campus. So shouts out to the two of those for pulling that off, and I look forward to seeing that continue here in the city for the kids. The good thing is for me, I have one more all-star game to watch. My son is on another one this Wednesday, and I am hoping for a better outcome. This one is actually for our school district and will take place at his home court. So we have a little bit of home court advantage going on with this one. So we'll fill you guys in next week to see how things turned out for our second all-star game. Before we bring on Q from the Talk to Q show, let's talk a little bit about my favorite reality show as of late, one of them, I'll say, Bringing Up Ballers. Excuse me, I have a little frog in my throat this morning. So I'm a little behind on episodes because I was traveling due to work, but I was able to catch bits and pieces, and it's getting pretty interesting. The Twin Towers, Johanna and Nikki B, they're not getting along. One of them has outshined the other, is what I feel, and it's caused some tension in their camp. So mom, Nikki B, she held a press conference for her eighth grade baller to announce his high school pick. So just think like a college announcement for an eighth grader. Where do they do that at, y'all? Well, I guess they do it in Chi-Town because Nikki likes to set trends, and she called it the next eighth grade trend. So I guess she wants us to pick up and have more eighth graders announce their high school of choice. Her son selected Morgan Park, which is a very good school in the Chicago area, especially for basketball. So she had a huge press conference complete with reporters, other media personalities, and he announced his choice. So after that, it seemed like Mama Johanna thought it was a bit tacky and just a way for Nikki to really get some more shine. It wasn't really about Nikki's son. She felt it was more about Nikki. When she approached Nikki at a practice session about how she felt, and it turned into a yelling match. I mean, right there, at the session, the trainer was looking at both of them like they were crazy. And Nikki B ended up walking out with her son. She was ticked. It was quite interesting. Now let's fast forward a little bit. Heather had an event for her salon, and Nikki B and Johanna continued their conversation, and everybody in the damn party heard about what was going on. I mean, it was just a bit, I'm going to say staged. I'm going to interject my own personal thoughts here. It was staged. Now, we know that reality TV, we always hear about it being staged and all of the editing that they do, but this just looked horrible because they kept talking about the same thing over and over and over again. It was like an argument, and you just want to hit your head against the wall. It was crazy. Anyway, Heather kicked them both out. Kudos to her, because I would have done that the first time, because they got into an argument twice at the event. She ended up kicking them both out. Johanna walks out. Nikki B walks back into the party, and we don't know what happens at that because it ends. But in the previews for this week, we see that Nikki has found a new mom to cuss out. And when I say cuss out, I mean she really is going in on this lady. And it has more to do about the kids' competition towards one another. So make sure you tune in. But I will have to say, Lesai, I don't know. I talked to a girlfriend yesterday about the show, and we just agreed that it's just not a great display of mommy management, and it does not really represent the world of what we've lived in as being basketball moms. But we still going to watch because we like reality TV. But there was an announcement on the show. One of the other ballers announced that he's going to attend, I believe it was Indiana State. But I need to research that because his name is George, and I've been trying to see if he was playing March Madness, and I've not been able to find him online anywhere. George Wilborn, I did a search. I just didn't see anything. So I will try again to see if I can find out, because I want to see if he's playing during March Madness so I can check out one of his games. I'm going to see if I can give Tiffany a call and find out if she knows where George is playing school. Speaking of Tiffany, though, in this week's episode, she had an interesting storyline with her son, Michael. She had taken him to a trainer that apparently previously had kind of talked very negative about him, and he was very turned off by her, but she's one of Chicagoland's best trainers, and Tiffany wants the best for her kids, so she took him to the trainer, and he didn't perform, he didn't participate, he was actually a little rude, I will say, and walked out. But she was able to get him remotivated again because she took him to another trainer that he really connected with, actually one of Peyton's Boo, which is another mom on the show. But it was a good session for him, and then he was able to connect. But Tiffany learned a lesson in not forcing him to do things. She just had to learn how to work with him to get him to be able to connect, which is something a lot of us moms go through. I know I've gone through it myself, because you want them to be the best, and you want them to, continue, because if they stop, somebody else is always going to come up behind them. So I could really connect it with that storyline from her this week. But make sure you guys tune in. This week is going to be juicy, and we love Juicy TV. Bringing Up Ballers comes on Lifetime TV. It comes on here at 9. So check your local listings to find out what time it comes on in your area. Now, really quick, before Q joins us, I want to have a little talk about bracketology. It is March Madness. It is on and popping. But, girl, my bracket is busted. It was busted on the first day. Let me see. Who busted my bracket? VCU busted it, and it was another team. I can't remember right now, but it was busted the first day. I didn't get a chance to do my normal research like I normally do. I was rushing because I was traveling to try and get into a betting pool I participated in, and I just didn't make some really great decisions. But it's good because it would have been busted anyway, because Nova, who I picked to be in the Final Four, didn't make it, which I don't know, surprised me. When I talked to Kyle, my son, about it, he was like, Mom, I don't know why I surprised you, because they shouldn't have been there. But I thought they were going to be in the Final Four. But nonetheless, my Dukies are still in it, and my Michigan teams are there as well. If you have done a bracket this year, send it to me. I'm doing a special blog post this week about March Madness and moms, and I'd love to include your bracket to see how far you got. My email address is curlymominger@yahoo.com. And like I said, I'm doing a special blog post this week. I haven't really been posting as much, but I'm going to get back into it, and I'm going to start out with this one. So it looks like my first special guest is on. So let me see if I can bring him on the line. Q, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's so good to hear your voice.
And so nice to speak with you again as well.
I know it's early on Sunday, so I appreciate you coming online today to talk to me about our topic, what do men really think about women in sports. But tell me a little bit about what's going on with you.
Not a lot. Let's see, the Talk to Q radio show has entered into year number 6. And
wow. So,
yeah, approaching 700 episodes. We're, should be there in a couple of weeks. And still going strong there. I'm still have a little fire left in my belly to continue the show. It is dwindling a little bit. So there could be some changes up ahead. But
okay.
So right now we're still doing it.
Okay, so when you figure out what those changes are, you'll come in back on and let me know, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. I think I'm going to join you sometime soon for a show.
And, yeah, hopefully we can do some recording soon about topics related to women. So I'll definitely be in touch with you about that.
That sounds good. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, so let's get into it. When you see females on TV and they're breaking down the game of the week, does that bother you? Maybe not even you, but what do fellas think about that?
Most guys don't like it. And we've talked about this on my show. Most guys don't like it. With me, I don't care as long as the person knows what they're talking about, man or woman. But it's all too common to see a very pretty woman on ESPN who really seems kind of out of place. Their focus is on showing her, you know, what she's wearing. She's always wearing something that has her legs exposed. And generally, when you see that, as a guy, you don't always take them seriously.
So one person, our lady, I can think of, is Carrie Champion. You know who that is?
Yes.
You familiar with her? Okay. So I think, personally, she knows what she's talking about, but I could be looking at it from a female perspective. But, yes, yeah, she does dress a little seductive, I'll say. But I really think she's a great opinion. But when men see her, I think all they think about is what she has on. And then after that, they don't focus on it at all. How can we change that?
Exactly. And that's difficult. That's essentially changing, the human mind almost for society, because a lot of times when we see someone dressed a certain way, you, as a guy, you may not even care what they have to say when it comes to sports. Once you see the skirt, you're just assuming, okay, this is just another good-looking body that they put on TV to get people to watch, and you don't actually listen to what's being said. So it's kind of unfortunate, but if she dressed more conservatively, it may actually help her, which is kind of, you know, unfortunate that that has to be the case.
Do you have a favorite female sportscaster?
As far as like actual gameplay, Pam Ward is my favorite commentator, and she actually, I think she's the first woman to ever do play-by-play for football, and she's great, because I remember I heard her years ago, and it was like the second quarter before I even realized, wait a minute, this is a woman, you know, she is absolutely great. My favorite, as far as TV sports center type personality, is Jemele Hill, and it's one of your Michigan ladies, but Jemele Hill is amazing.
Okay, but a lot of guys dog her out. I mean, I don't watch Jemele. She has a show. I know. I can't think of the guy's name.
Right.
But
Michael Smith.
I read a lot of negative comments about her. Do you as well?
And I've read some negative comments about her. And I think, well, I know she's made some statements that people have called controversial, which I don't think they were controversial. But, I mean, I don't know if it's just jealousy or what, but Jemele Hill is the real deal. I mean, I'm not as big of an ESPN fan as I once was, but her and her partner, Michael Smith, their show to me is hands down the best show on TV for sports.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
isn't that interesting?
Yeah, but she is great.
Actually, that's kind of what sparked this topic was I was on Twitter, and she was talking just about a game, and there were a lot of comments from men, or retweets, quotes from men saying, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, you need to learn how sports really work. You know, it was just bad. So it sparked in me this question, what do men really think about us in sports? I'm going to switch gears just a little bit here from the commentating piece and just talk about women in sports in general. You know, in many professions, females are always paid less than men, and that is no different in sports. And what I don't get is do the women, like in the WNBA, not work as hard as the men in the NBA? I don't understand that. Why are they paid so much less? What do you think about that?
I think that's just a matter of popularity, because the reason NBA players get paid so much is that they generate so much money through jersey sales, shoes, tickets, and things of that nature. And the WNBA doesn't generate that type of revenue. So they're paid based on popularity. You know, by the same token, women who play tennis and soccer are severely underpaid because they generate more money than men, but they're still underpaid. So I see there's a huge disparity there. But in the NBA, I kind of understand. But in soccer and tennis, those ladies are being robbed.
Yeah, it's just not right. And I get your point about the popularity of the NBA. You know, I myself enjoy watching those games more than the WNBA, but I still see it's a huge disparity, something that really needs to be fixed.
Yes, it's a huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, millions of dollars versus, heck, some of them just thousands of dollars, but I don't know if that'd be fixed in my mind, that's for sure. Now, in Atlanta, they Tini Harris just started a league, the co-ed team, basketball team. Thoughts on that?
I think it's pretty cool. I don't know how accepted it would be, but I would watch it. I think that would be a pretty nice idea to kind of mix the two and just see how it goes. So it would be something that I would watch. I just don't know how many guys would buy into it because there's just some, you know, still some Neanderthals out here in the world. I mean, we got one in the White House.
Woo! We're not going to get started on him. Did you see he didn't shake that lady's hand? Oh, excuse me.
That dude.
He's a mess. I mean, body, help us. Now, are there any sports
we did it to ourselves.
We did. We did. I can say that we did. Now, are there any sports, in your opinion, that you think women should not play?
With men or just in general?
In general.
No, I think they can play whatever they want. I mean, I've watched, you know, women play hockey in the Olympics, and it's enjoyable. And I've seen women's football games before as well and, you know, enjoy that too. So I think they can play whatever they want to play. As far as when it comes to playing with men, then I would say I don't know about football. But you know, as far as playing together. But, no, I enjoy watching women play whatever.
Okay. You know, we have a women's football league in California. We have one of the teams here in Bakersfield. I've never been out to a game, but I heard it can get quite brutal. So
oh yes,
I'm gonna have to check one of these out. I don't know if I would enjoy it myself, but I think I'll check it out. I need to have an open mind about it.
Yeah,
I agree.
It can be very enjoyable.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's just such a brutal sport to me. I know it's America's pastime, but I don't know. I don't know. So look, dude, we're gonna play. Go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say, I mean, for your listeners looking to see women do other things, there's a woman by the name of Clarissa Shields who is going to be, I think, the first woman boxer, well, one of two, first lady boxers to be featured on a primetime event. I think that may be next Saturday or I can't remember the date, but her name is Clarissa Shields, and she's an Olympic boxer. And, you know, women's boxing is coming to primetime TV, and it's never happened before. So, I mean, you know, you still have some women, you know, groundbreaking with certain sports.
And that's coming out of Detroit, right?
I don't know. I can't remember where she's from or where the fight's going to be held. But
I think Detroit. I read about it a couple weeks ago.
Okay. But, yeah, so, I mean, you know, women are still coming along in different things. They got them in UFC and cage fighting, and now boxing is going to get its first taste of the limelight for women.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll be staying tuned for that. But now it's mano against mano, me and you. We're going to face off in a he versus she session, sports edition. I'm going to bring on my partner in crime, Erica. Erica, are you there? Where's she at?
I'm here. I was on mute. Got a new phone, trying to work it out.
Good morning.
Hi, Erica.
Jake, how you doing?
Good morning. I'm great. Hey, Q.
How's it going?
What's going on with you?
Girl, everything. Everything. as a matter of fact, I was just typing up some show notes. Cocktail for Conversation. We'll be relaunching. Coming back from the dead, I'm resurrecting it. April 1st.
Okay.
Doing a facelift on the blog, raising kids, you know, living life, trying to survive the next 4 years, you know, all that stuff.
Doing it. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit earlier. it's some interesting days, I'm telling you. So, Erica, you are our moderator today. You're the perfect choice to be our moderator in He versus She, the sports edition. Go ahead and start asking some questions of Q and I, and we're going to give you our best answer, and we'll see who's the winner. Okay? You ready?
Okay. Well, Robin, I thought what I would do is, since you are, you know, raising a basketball phenom, I thought that we would do questions that are centered around basketball. Plus, we're in March Madness, too, so I thought that was applicable. So are you ready, guys? What team won? Okay, so question number one. Uh-oh, where'd it go? Oh, my God, my question disappeared. Hold on, let me get to my phone.
Okay.
Let me get to
so
my
we're
phone.
Doing multiple choice, right?
Yes, these are multiple choice questions.
Okay.
So for basketball trivia, what team won the very first NBA game? Your choices are Chicago Stags, Philadelphia Warriors, Toronto Huskies, or New York Knicks?
Okay, I'm going to let you answer first.
Oh, well, thank you. I love being wrong first. I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Warriors.
Okay, and I'm going with Chicago.
You're both wrong. The correct answer is the New York Knicks. They actually defeated the Toronto Huskies 68-66 in the very first NBA game that was broadcast on November 1st, 1946.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Okay.
Right, go on to the next.
Okay. Question number two. You guys should get this one right. I got this one right. What NBA player scored 100 points on March 2nd, 1962? Was it Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain, or Bill Russell?
Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah, Wilt Chamberlain.
You're both right.
It was...
Ding, 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 ding. What did you say, Q?
Wilt Chamberlain.
Yep. He played for the Philadelphia Warriors, and he scored 100 points, the most ever by an NBA player in a single game, during his team's 169-147 win over the New York Knicks. That was a high-scoring game, I tell you.
Yeah.
Okay.
He also played with 100 women, too, didn't he?
More than 100.
That would have been
a well-known trivia fact.
Imagine how many basketball wives could have been on his show.
Oh, Lord, basketball baby mamas.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Who, yeah. Yes, you are. Who was the first player in NBA history to be elected league MVP by a unanimous vote? Was it LeBron James, Steph Curry, Magic Johnson, or Michael Jordan?
I'm going with Steph Curry.
I'm going with Steph, too. He was. It was him.
You're both right. In 2016, after a record-breaking season in which he led the Warriors to an NBA record, 73 wins, and set an individual record of 402 three-point field goals, he won by unanimous vote.
That's my guy. All right. We're still tied. We're going to go two more questions, see if we can break it.
Okay. Next question. Who was the youngest player to score 10,000 points in the NBA? Was it Kobe Bryant, Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, or LeBron James?
Go ahead.
Oh, me? I'll go with LeBron.
I'm going with Kobe.
Q, you're right. LeBron is the correct answer. At 23 years and 59 days, LeBron James became the youngest player to score 10,000 points in the NBA. Okay.
I could have scored Kobe as big. I hate LeBron, but go ahead. Last question.
Okay, so the last question. Let's see who's going to take this one home. What team owns the longest winning streak in NBA history? Is it the Los Angeles Lakers, Chicago Bulls, Golden State Warriors, or the Miami Heat?
I'm going to go first. He said, wait a minute. What you doing? Online looking?
No, I had to say. I thought I knew, but I could think for a second.
I'm going to go with the Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
See, I can't remember if Golden State broke the Lakers record or not in that year they won 73 games. I'm going to say
go with your first thought.
I'm going to say the Lakers.
Well, Q, good thing you went with the Lakers because you are correct.
Oh,
they
man.
They won 33 straight games in the 71-72 season, the most in NBA history.
Well,
okay,
congratulations.
Okay. I can't remember. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
But, Q, you are
I'll
the winner.
I'll give you my address to send the prize money.
I was just going to tell you, you are the winner of absolutely nothing because there is no prize.
I heard some mention of $25,000. I thought I heard that.
We got about 30 seconds left. Just give me your social media contact information real quick. Erica?
You can find me at cocktail_Erica on Instagram, Twitter, and Cocktails and Conversations on Facebook.
And Q?
At Talk to Q. That's Talk the number 2 Q on Twitter and TalkToQ.com.
Thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you guys next week. You guys take care and God bless.
Thanks.
Thank you.